The Raven and the Blues on VFBS Radio 2.
I'm a white trash girl from the wrong side of town. I live alone in a trailer. Don't put me down. I'm as happy as can be, but I can't tell a lie. I'm a white trash girl. I need a low down guy. You don't have. Trash girl.
Know that she is, don't you? That's opening up The Raven and the Blues, the great Candy Kane, and I'm a white trash girl. The mic sounds funny. Why is that? That's a fiddle. Okay, we'll settle for that. My name is Dave Raven. It is The Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2 across the world and also on Skybird Radio and, of course, on an FM. So listen again as your choice. However you're listening, welcome to the programme. Some great new stuff that's taken from a new album, even though the album itself, White Trash Girl, has been out for a little while. It's the Roof Records Anthology, 12 years of where the blues crosses over. And what's nice about this is Thomas Roof, who I met in the early part of this year when he came with Blues Caravan to the Houseboat, he's really put together his story of Roof Records going back to 1994 when he signed Luther Allinson and then taking it all the way on there, and information in between about the years when things didn't work out and the years when he didn't have any money and so on. It's a lovely, lovely compilation. On the actual 2-CD set is there are a total of 26 tracks altogether, including a video clip as well, and you've got really all the acts that he's signed over the years. Anna Popovich from Hungary, Larry Garner, Omar and the Howlers, Candy Kane there, of course, Ian Parker, Sue Foley, Walter Trout. It's just a great, great lineup, and it's a great 2-CD set. Well worth getting your hands on. I don't know if you'll open the programme with the girl. Let's continue, though, the theme and stay with the ladies. Bonnie Raitt and Friends, 2-CD set recorded in September of last year at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, New Georgia. Here she is on stage with Keb Mo.
Okay, I've been healed.
Thank you.
Light rain at an early dawn. I'm working on a love letter. Got my radio on. My eye on your window pane. I've smoked a lot of cigarettes. Mercy, mercy, but love is strange. And you haven't even kissed me yet. We come to push. A push come to shove. A shove comes to touch and touches come to love. Working on a love letter. Listening to a love song. Writing you a love letter, love letter. Got my radio on.
Radio. I hope you get the message, baby.
Push, a push comes to shove, a shove comes to touch, touches come to love. Love don't sit waiting, love don't behave, love waiting in my car in this pouring rain. I'm working on a love letter, listening to a love song.
Have been some concert. Bonnie Raitt and Friends from the Taj Mahal at Atlantic City from September of last year. The Friends.
Kevmo.
Friends of Kevmo. Also, Ben Harper, John Cleary, Alison Krauss, and Norah Jones. It's a great, great two CD set, and especially the last track where they're all on stage. That's all of them together with Bonnie Raitt doing Love Sneaking Up on You. It's a great CD. It's new to the Home of the Blues. Just received it this last week and well worth every penny. It's not too expensive either because it's a two CD set. It was pretty, I think it was about £8 or something, so not too bad at all. That came at the same time as this next CD, which I ordered about 3 weeks ago on kind of the record. request of one of the listeners, Robert Jordan in Kosovo, who said, can I play something off the new album from Eric Clapton and JJ Cale? And I hadn't got it, so quickly went onto Amazon, and the waiting time was like 2 weeks. I don't think it's been released here in the UK. It could be you've got a Kosovan early version, perhaps. It's called Road to Escondido. It's Eric Clapton and JJ Cale together for the very first time. And if you're thinking, that's a rather fine pairing made in heaven, you're right. It's just absolutely wonderful. Probably over the next year or so, every track will get played on the programme. Let's start with the first one, written by JJ Cale. It's called Danger.
Such a good sign. answer.
Clapton been playing guitar 40 years, same as JJ Cale, I guess. They've both got quite a few years of guitar playing behind them, and there have been many times over the years I've thought, listening to Eric Clapton, how much like JJ Cale he sounds. This is the first time they've ever got together to make an album. It's called Road to Escondido, 14 tracks altogether, most of them written by JJ himself, a couple by Eric, and the others are standards from people like Brownie McGee. It's just wonderful. If you like that sort of thing, if you see what I mean. It's not heavy electric rock, but it's just great stuff. Great blues and back porch blues, if you guess what I mean. We've got a live guest this week. Forgot to mention him earlier when I started the programme. It's because the microphone was odd when I started, and bearing in mind it's my studio and nobody else uses it, I can't think why the mic had gone quiet. Somebody must have been fiddling. Dave Kelly of the Blues Band, and also the Dave Kelly Band, and also Dave Kelly, Christine Collister, and the League of Travelling Gentlemen. All of those incarnations is our live guest in a few minutes' time. Talking of live, I'm off to see live in a couple of days' time Mike Harrison, the ex-front guy of Spooky Tooth, a great, great band from the 60s and into the early 70s. Yeah, I suppose it would be the 70s, yeah. He's got a new album out. Now, the last time he had an album out, which I remember, was a couple of years ago, when he brought an album out in 2003-04 thereabouts, together with the Hamburg Blues Band, which is where we'll feature now. But I'm going to go and see him at the Borderline. He has a new album out, which I don't know its name of yet, but hopefully he'll be playing a track in a week or two's time when I get hold of it. That's assuming they give me one when I go to the Borderline. But to give you a taste of Mike Harrison and the Hamburg Blues Band, here he is live on stage with from the album Touch. This is called Waiting for the Wind.
Don't go.
That's Mike Harrison and the Hamburg Blues Band. I first met him back in the 1960s when he was the lead singer of a band called the VIPs. They were out of Carlisle. I'm out of Newcastle. It's about sort of 50 miles between the two of us on the east and west coasts of the UK, where it gets very narrow in the middle. And so looking forward to seeing him in a couple of days' time. He won't recognise me because I'll have changed in the last 40 years. And I won't recognise him because he'll have changed in the last 40 years. It's the Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2 and also on Skybird Radio on the east coast of the USA. And of course, as a podcast or as a listen again on your MP3 player of choice, it's live guest time. And here's somebody who should have been here, well, 6 years ago, I guess, because we live about 3 miles apart. And I've been playing music from the band that he's in out and also solo stuff from him for a long, long time. Dave Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dave.
A blues man through and through, and for many years. I'm feeling we have to have met at some stage, because I've been in the blues since the 60s and worked with the Steam Packet and things, and you were around, you were sort of then starting your blues career, weren't you?
Yes, I started playing in folk clubs in about 64. Mm-hmm. Not very many, just my sister Joanne had her Sunday night residency at Bungie's Coffee House in Charing Cross Road. And yeah, I used to go and foist myself on her on occasions.
So she was in the blues before you?
No, we were both in the blues together. Mm-hmm. It was just, I mean, I learnt guitar when I was 10, well, you know, skiffle, and taught Joe, the three chords. Mm-hmm. No, we both got into blues about the same time. It's just that I've been 3 or so years younger than her. I couldn't get into pubs and things
yes,
like that.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So she had the head start on you there. Yeah. Was it a blues family, or was it just...
No, not really, no. I mean, it was, my father sang, had a nice singing voice, but didn't do anything particularly with it, other than when we were on holiday and things like that, holiday camps. And I later found out he'd been a drummer in his youth. But we always had music at home. Mm. Records, you know, I always bought gramophone records, and I was always fascinated by the stand-up radiogram with a 78 player on the top. And
let's come in, right up. I'll say up to date. Let's bring it in the last, say, 15 or 20 years, because the blues band have been on and off and on and off, like a marriage, a relationship.
We've just been. We were on, then we were off, and we've been on ever since. You know,
just the one was there.
We split up once for two and a half years at the end of 82. Mm-hmm. And we got back together in 85 to do the Half Moon at Putney, where one of the places we first started playing at. The landlord's wife died of cancer, and he was having 2 weeks of benefit gigs to try and raise money for a scanner for St George's Hospital. And he asked me if I could get the blues band together again. And I hadn't spoken to anyone, really, since we'd split up.
It sounds like a movie title. Yeah. We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, So I rang them and, said it's for, good cause. Mm-hmm. And they all said, yeah, all right, We turned up in the afternoon and ran through a few numbers, And soon everybody was grinning, And then Paul was committed to National Theatre at the time and various other things. So we didn't actually get together properly until 87, but we did a few odds and ends, like Top of the Bill at Glastonbury.
And also, at that stage, I would suppose, because you'd now settled in yourself a little bit, started to expand a bit more and, if you like, do the unplugged things and do...
The unplugged thing came a bit later, but we did, so, if we got together again in 85, didn't get together properly till 87, and didn't get around to doing an album till 89. No, it came out in 89, so we must have started in 88. Yeah. But that, people were writing, and I had met the Memphis Horns somewhere on some solo gigs in Europe, and got quite pally with them. And they, I've forgotten who they were over with, but they were over in the UK, and I rang Wayne up and said, would you come and do some recording for us? And agreed a fee and came down, and they're wonderful, incredible value, incredible musicians, And so that album, we call it the first of our grown-up albums, because it's not straight R&B or what we said. It's people writing, and it did. A lot of our hardcore fans don't like those two albums, but I think they're extremely good.
The first album, we're going back 27 years now. I was with BFBS working in Germany, and Ariola Records were very good, because BFBS was the only English language sort of station playing lots of pop music. So we got all the interviews and got first things. And I've still got the album, it's in the hold. And this album came with a just completely white sleeve, and then on a bulldog printing set in the top right hand corner. And it gave me no clue of what was going to be inside, really, and no prehistory of the band. And often, I suppose it's often some of the best excitements in music come when you put something on a, in those days, turntable, but now in your CD player, and you're completely, your socks are just knocked off. And I just put this on and just, you know, it's my main love. And the effect it had on radio then, because we didn't have the tight playlists. So we played that to death in those days. And so a long and good history coming out of that. Let's have something live coming out.
Well, that album charted, actually. I mean, it was our first two albums charted.
Here in the UK,
but
a different sleeve, though, wasn't it?
They repackaged it. That was our, you know, we'd done the album and no one wanted it, so we just pressed them, and they just went so quickly that then it was the time of Me Demon, and the the record company started queuing up then, having been showed that it does work,
they can make money out of it.
One company said, "Well, yeah, we would sign you, but you're too old." That's 28 years ago.
What are you going to start with?
Crossroads Blues, I think. I went down to the crossroads, bent down on my knees. Down at the crossroads, fell down on my knees. Pray God for mercy, save me if you please. Whoa, down at the crossroads, trying to flag it right. Down at the crossroads, trying to flag it right. Nobody seemed to know me, everybody passed me by. Oh, that sun go down, dust gonna catch me here. Yee-hoo. Dust gonna catch me here. Ain't got no loving sweet one, love and feel my care. Where you run, tell my friend Paul Willie Brown. Yeah, you run, tell my friend Willie Brown. I'm at these crossroads, people, I believe I'm sinking down.
Crossroads Blues. As a young white guy playing the blues back then, do you find, because I was talking to Eric Bibb last week, and he was saying he did Going Down Slow, and he said that's been part of his life all the time, but he never believed he could sing it until he got a bit, until he got a bit older. Have you found the same sort of thing with you, that you've grown into the music you sing about?
Well, I think I sing a lot better than I used to. I hear... you know, we, in 1969, we backed Howling Wolf for 3 weeks around the UK. And about 4 years ago, I was up in Edinburgh, and this guy chatting after the gig or something, I can't remember, and he's just a punter, and he said, Yeah, I saw you with Howling Wolf at the Free Trade Hall, Manchester, and said, oh, yeah, that's a great tour and blah, blah, blah. And he said, get to the end of the conversation. He said, would you like a CD of it? I said, what? 1969, you didn't have even cassette players, let alone mini discs.
It was one of those little Philips things, wasn't it?
No. It was his big full-size Grundig that he took into the Free Trade Hall, Manchester, plugged it into the wall, and sat there holding up his microphone.
And I suppose most people wouldn't even know what it was, so they didn't stop him.
They didn't stop him. Thank heaven they didn't, because it's a wonderful document, you know. But that the nice thing about that Manchester Free Trade Hall, it was the last night of the tour. And the Roy Tempest agency who brought him over also had Freddie King on tour with Killing Floor. And at Free Trade Hall, it was a double header. So the encore, Freddie comes out and plays with us behind Wolf.
Amazing.
And he's played the most gorgeous introduction. I mean, you know, I love Freddie King doing what he does, you know, what we know him for. But hearing him just play straight, he's almost like Buddy Guy in a... how can I put this without... But in a more restrained, but a more accomplished, or a more controlled way. You know, I love Buddy Guy's animalism and emotion, but Freddie King, he's got all that in this backing wolf, not sounding particularly like Freddie King,
no,
but just a blues player playing
behind
someone.
But complimenting him, yes, as opposed
and
to...
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's just going into the solo, and it runs out of tape. But you still have the intro and the playing behind. It was absolutely magic.
It's been great to talk to you. I'm so glad we could get together. What should we finish with?
Booker White song. I've started... I've had a flurry on Amazon of buying every book on blues I can find. Once I hadn't read, I'm reading Charlie Patton's Life at the moment. That was it. In the summer, I played at Maryport. Paul and I played with Homesick James, Honeyboy Edwards, and Robert Junior Lockwood.
Amazing,
you know,
it's a good collection of ages.
Robert's 96,
yes.
And I think the other two were in their 90s. Yeah,
that was a hell of a lineup. It was like, well, Tony Joe White was there as well, wasn't he? I think
When I was there.
All
I would
right.
like to see Tony Joe. Yeah, but yeah, they were great. And I mean, Homesick, they did separate little sets each. They were on after Paul and I, and ended about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. But, you know...
You're allowed that.
You're allowed that when you're in your 90s, yeah. And Homesick was, you know, started and he was on his own playing an acoustic guitar. And I thought, this is strange. You know, I mean, all the Homesick stuff, I know he's playing electric guitar, either behind Elmore or he's, you know, he's seen this rocking along, you know. And he came backstage just to the artist area afterwards and... He said, oh, nice set, Homesick. He said, I'll put it the nice way. He said, I want a friggin' bass and drums. So he was, I thought, it would have been, it wouldn't have been that difficult to put someone behind and going, do-do-do-do, you know. But anyway, but he was still good. But Honeyboy was great. And his manager was with him, and he had his book Honeyboy Edwards had related various stories about his life to these two people who compiled it into a book, and it's fascinating read. It just sums up what it was like for those guys living in Mississippi in the 30s, and he worked with Johnson and all these other guys, you know.
I would guess you've read The Land Where the Blues Began, Alan Lomax, have you?
I haven't read that one, no. That's one to get as well.
That to me was the eye-opener. I thought I knew the blues, you know, I've been around it for 40 years. I'm a white guy from the northeast of England, you know, but I didn't know, when they sang about the levees and the work camps, I didn't know what it was like to actually be in those work camps in the prisons and the life that they actually led within it. When you read it, it suddenly takes the scales off your eyes as to why the blues has been the blues, you know. It was such an eye-opener.
Anyway... Booker White, another one of the great Mississippi players. This is one we did on the first Blues Man acoustic album called Wireless, and the song's called The Jitterbug Swing. Thank you.
jitterbug swing. Hey, you women, do the jitterbug swing. When you do that jitterbug swing, you know you're doing a thing.
Jitterbug Swing, and Dave Kelly, thank you so much for being a guest. Don't forget, you can hear the complete interview, one extra track, and a load more conversation about the days of the early days of the blues, his sister Joanne, and lots more besides. If you go to the Raven and the Blues site at bfbs.com/R&B, and there you'll see Dave's picture, click on the link underneath, and you can hear the whole 40-odd minutes interview. Our guests next week are the Mercy Brothers. They're coming to the studio, and they should be my guests in a week's time. And I think that's about it then, until the Christmas period. So, but looking forward to the Mercy Brothers. We've played a couple of tracks from their album over the last week or two. Here's somebody who was a guest a little while ago, taken from the album Give in Kind. This is Guy Davis.
I'm saying goodbye. Can't take the way that they have knocked me down. There's only one thing, that gives my mind. My sweet Layla has to stay behind. Oh, Layla, oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, Layla, oh, Lord, yeah. Layla, Layla, oh, Lord, yeah. Layla, Layla, oh, Lord, yeah. No one, no wind, no rain, no snow. Expensive, she ain't got no job. I love her bad enough to steal and rob. I'm going to heaven, or maybe hell. Without my Layla, Lord, it's hard to tell. Hard to tell, hard to tell. Without my Layla, Lord, it's hard to tell. Ain't got no money, ain't got no friends, ain't had no love in
says I don't know when I'm gonna knock at my baby's door. I'm gonna try to fix it like it was before. Oh, Layla, oh Lord, yeah. Layla, Layla, oh Lord, yeah. Oh, Layla, oh Lord, yeah. Layla, Layla, oh Lord, yeah. No one, no wind, no rain, no snow, no storm to fall on you till I make it right.
Didgeridoo, isn't it? Don't know. I should have looked inside the sleeve, shouldn't I? Sounds like a didgeridoo. Guy Davis from the album from 4 years ago, the album Give in Kind, and that is a track called Layla, Layla. If you'd like to make contact, wherever you are in the world, I'd love to hear from you. It's dave.raven@bfbs.com. Don't forget the website. I mention it every week. A chance to put your pin in the map. Quite a few people have put their pins in the map, but because of the strange way that Frapper now works, I can't tell who the new people are. So unless you actually put some comment down, no matter how short it might be, I just can't see the new pins in the map. It doesn't work that way, which is a huge pity, because at the beginning, I could sort of welcome you as you came and put your pins in the map. Now, unless you actively put something in the comment or the shout-out column, I actually can't. Anyway, you'll find all the information, of course, on the website, and a chance to listen to all the previous programmes and all the previous guests too. And if you go right back and look right down the bottom of the page, you'll see a photograph of not one person in the studio here on the Thames, but actually three of them. The band called Blues Caravan, who were touring together at the early part of this year, and Thomas Roof of Roof Records brought them across. They are Ian Parker, Ainsley Lister, two young English blues men, and from Finland, Erha Littinen. And collectively, they went back to the States. I say back to the States. They went to the States, to Clarksdale in Mississippi. They were going to do Mississippi and also New Orleans, but Katrina got in the way, and so they spent their time in Mississippi. And they'd never been in a studio. It's great to hear them talking about it. They'd never been in a sort of an old-fashioned shed type studio, you know, the drummer was asleep in the corner, that sort of thing. And it really activated their blues roots in such a strong way. They came back so changed from that experience. And the effect of it was heard on the album Blues Caravan, and also it's been heard on future albums. Here is the first release since that time from Erha Littinen. It's called Dreamland Blues, and bearing in mind she's, 5'2", little slip of a lass, blonde-haired girl from Finland. You know, you could sort of break her with your bare hands in a way. She's so slim, but she's got such a great, powerful voice, and listen to her guitar playing on this. Why a Woman Plays the Blues. Thank you. Dreamland Blues is the CD. Litten and Littenen is the girl behind it. Roof Records. You'll find the links on the website. It's just arrived. It's really great. 12 good tracks altogether. We open the programme with two girls side by side. That's Candy Cane and Bonnie Raitt. Let's continue to break all the rules and put another two girls side by side. But a lot of years in between them. From Finland, we had in her very early 20s, Eha. And here we go back to somebody who was in her 40s when she recorded this back in the 50s, if you see what I mean. Her name is Violet Hall, and here she is with He's an Ivory Beating Baby on the Baby Grand.
Much piano, it's a shame to state. No use of talking, he can roll. And the way he boogie woogies only sends my soul. And he plays honky tonk like a grown up man. He's an ivy beaten baby on the baby grand. Before he learned to walk, he was an 8-beat fan. He got his start when mama played the baby grand. As soon as he could reach the keys, started playing boogie woogie on his hands and knees. And now he rocks the house. Yes, he raises sand. He's an ivy beaten baby on the baby grand. Oh, what a beat! He puts it down. Oh, what a treat when that kid goes to town. His fingers never miss. And he even socks the black keys with his fist. He's a terrific man, don't you understand? He's an ivy beaten baby on the baby grand. I'm sending myself, he's mama's only child. But he likes his boogie woogie, he man style. Please believe me, man, he's a kid who can. He's an ivy beaten baby on the baby grand. He's an ivy beaten baby on the baby grand.
Violet Hall on the Dootsie record label, and it's a great compilation called Blues for Dootsie. All the records out of the blue and duotone sides recorded back in the 40s and very early 50s. And he's an ivory-beating baby on the baby grand. The nice thing is when I get emails, dave.raven@bfbs.com, from different parts of the world, people let me know what they're doing when they're listening to the programme. And ranging from John Podaras in the United Arab Emirates on the sand dunes with his dog and his camels, through to Mark Morrison while watching his son play football. He's listening on these headphones as well to the programme. If you'd like to drop me a line of where you're listening in the world, it'd be nice to hear what you do while the programme is on. I know, I've forgotten his name, it's Johan in Sweden, isn't it? He listens whilst as a snowplough driver. Anyway, that's almost it for this week's programme. Hope you've enjoyed the music on the show. dave.raven@bfbs.com, drop me a line. It was Mark Morrison who said, could I have some more Doc Span? Let's close the programme with Doc Span. This one is called Take a Bite. Have a good week. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Take a bite. Green's what I need. Green's my favorite color. Green turtle. Green love. Green. I like green. Salad. Like to be dressed.
dressed in green. Green's my favorite color. You like purple? That's cool. I think green's out of sight. Take a bite. Take a bite. Take a bite. Take a bite.